this morning and in the afternoon as well, we will be looking at the passion of our Christ. What did I say? Say it again. No, some people can go to church and don't know what was taught. They will know, it mentioned Christ died, he rose from the dead. What was the title? From a child. You have known the Holy Scripture. You know, you can get away with that in this church. You say, what was preached? They'll say, oh, fool, slow of heart. To believe all that the prophets have spoken. Hurt not Christ. If they ask you, which scripture the pastor quote, you can go down quickly. Luke 24, 25 to 27. 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 16. Someone told me on Tuesday, as Wednesday, said, I've read that scripture so much, I felt you wrote it. Hallelujah. What is the passion of our Christ? What is on his mind? And we need to realize that. Because he is our Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 said, he tasted, by the grace of God, he tasted death for every man. Alright? Then verse 10 says, he brought many, Hebrews 2, verse 10, he brought many sons to glory, that he became of him, that he might be made the captain. That's the word leader. Of our salvation, perfected through suffering. So Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of the body. So the head of the body means he's our source. The Bible says the church is subject to Christ. Ephesians 5:25. The church is subject to Christ. From 22, pardon me, to 25. He says that Christ is the head of the body. And the church, the body of Christ, is subject to Christ. That is, we are found in Christ. We're found under him. We're not just an organization. And then somebody says, what about you? What are you guys thinking? The government of Nigeria thinks that the churches, then the government begins to tell us what the church should be doing now is to get involved in moral education. Our girls are following our boys. And then the government is concerned about it. The government is concerned about this. They say, the churches should rise up and speak against Boko Haram. Yes, it's true. I like that man of God. He talks it on the television. He says it that the way it is. The churches should get up and talk against the government. They've removed CRK from the curriculum. They want to brainwash our children. How many of you got born again because of CRK? Waste of time. You got filled with the Holy Ghost in your CRK class. How many CRK teachers are even Christians? Misplaced priorities. Hallelujah. But what's your opinion about it? As a pastor or as a Nigerian? Just as a pastor. Say, go and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Do you understand? The government, that man said it, he spoke his mind. Where is our president? Why can't all the churches rise up and say, where is our president? No, sir. The government cannot tell us what to do. The church is subject to Christ. Hallelujah. We are subject to Christ. Say, we are subject to Christ. We have a message already. We don't react to the society. We have a message. That message was given before we were born. So we're subject to Christ. So what is the passion of our Christ? What is his mission? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 1. And I'm just going to share. Before that, Matthew 1:21. Then Luke's Gospel 1. We're going to open to quite some scriptures this morning as well. Matthew 1:21. This is what the angel said now. He says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, which is the word Yeshua. You can readily call that Joshua today. You know. And thou shalt call his name Yeshua. That's what Jesus. For he shall save. Hallelujah. For he shall save his people. That's what he says. From their sins. Very specific work. He shall save. There was no dispute about that. There was a clear-cut mission that he had. For he shall save. So how would you use his name to kill your enemies? How do you want to do it? Look at his name. His name means he shall save. You know, I declare that in the name of the Savior, die. That doesn't make sense, does it? If the person dies, it's not the name of Jesus. Because Jesus means he shall save. A Savior does not destroy. Alright? So he shall save. Very clear quote. He shall save his people from their sins. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Don't forget we're looking at the passion of our Christ. Luke's Gospel chapter 1. This is a prophecy that was given by Zechariah from verse 67. So he's prophesying. And then he says in verse 69, and had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Praise the Lord. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he will grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, my servant without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou child, this is now his son John, shall be the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Pay attention now. Look at verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Hallelujah. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's John. He says, now look at the word shadow of death. You say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't say that for yourself. Shadow of death refers to spiritual darkness. Those who are in spiritual darkness. That's not where you are. Spiritual death. We're not in that. We are alive unto God. I said we are alive unto God. Look at this. Unto his people by the remission of sins. So his work was very clear. He will save his people from their sins. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 19. Luke's Gospel 19. I'm going to read to you verse 10. I'm going to check. I'm coming back here later. Let's see verse 10 together, everybody. Luke's Gospel 19:10. Can we go? I'll wait for you. Let's go. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Take it one more time. To seek and to save. Mark out the word to seek. It's vital. It's not just to save, but to seek and to sing. And that was why in chapter 9, verse 56, he rebuked his disciples when they were telling him to call down fire like Elijah did. He said, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. Hallelujah. He said, hallelujah. He has not come to destroy, but to save. So his work is clear. Very clear. Follow this now. In John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's what the King James says. But the original should be, and you will be abundant. I am come that you may have life. Did you observe that every verse that we have read about Jesus has nothing to do about Him but us? In other words, I am come for you. I am come because of you. The Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save. He has come to seek and to save. And so when he said in John 10:10, he said, I am come that you may have life. It would definitely mean if I come to you and say you may have life. What I'm saying is that you don't have life. And the people he was talking to, some of them were rich, some were poor, none of them were sick. So when he talked about life, he couldn't have been talking about material life. So that you now quote that scripture and then put apples behind it. They may have abundant life. You now put apples. But that's a bad one. Remember, cars and jets. This is the life. No, he didn't say that. A dear friend was telling me, a dear brother in Christ. You have to use your words carefully. Context is key. He said, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was poor. He became rich. And I told you, I said, but you guys, you tell us that Jesus wasn't poor. He said he was very rich. You will tell us that his clothes were so expensive, they sold it in France at the auction. He said, was he poor or was he rich? You have to pick one. He has to either be poor or rich. Well, he was poor. Very good. So you admit that in the four Gospels, Jesus was not a rich man. Yes. Very good. And then, he didn't have a house. Yes. You know, because his ministry was short term. So he didn't want a house because so that it would not delay his ministry. Interesting, Yans. Then I asked the question. I said, he was poor so that you might become rich. He said, who are the we? He said, every believer. He said, I asked him again, who are the we? He said, every believer. Who are the we? Every believer. I said, let me ask you one more time before I ask you the next question. You know, I like to make you clear. He said, he became poor. Is it for every believer or some believer? I said, no, every believer. I said, that will mean every unbeliever is poor. Not like that. No, you have to pick one. He became poor so that every unsaved person can become rich. That will mean every unsaved person will be poor. Then he got stuck. He said, drop this matter. I'll preach it before you got born again. Hallelujah. I've come that you may have life. Praise the Lord. And you'll be abundant. So Jesus came because of us. Glory to his name. Are you a church? One more. So he said, I'm come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus had no building of his own. Not one. He didn't have a house. He didn't come on the pulpit and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shondai. You know, guys, so that's what this is. Pastor, what's Shondai? You want to know what Shondai is? I'll tell you one more thing. Shondai. Say, oh, glory to his name. Let me say, Peter, tell them the great things the Lord has been doing in our ministry. He said 2 days ago, we got a call from nowhere. Down the road to Capernaum. You know that land stretching forth with the seas by the side? The Lord just provided it. So the ministry headquarters will be situated there from next week. Wow! The God! This is really the Son of God. So are you aware that 3 weeks ago, oh glory, as I was yet preaching, a woman walked up to me. You know what she gave me? The keys to Herod's palace. You know, something like that. You know? He had no house. Imagine, God came into this world and he had no house. Praise the Lord. And he was holding his meetings in conference centers. No. In the deserts. What's the desert? Why was he holding meetings in the desert? Because it's spring. Hallelujah. It's spring. Praise the Lord. He had to do it in the synagogues. Which is also free. Or in the desert. Say, my God, you know what we pay every Sunday? We pay $2 million for every Sunday. My God, that's an apostolic ministry. God's doing something in your ministry. So, no. In the desert. That's where he held his meetings. Or in the synagogues. Where as a Jew, you can enter with liberty. Sometimes you will borrow sheep, you know, and their sheep weren't the kind of ones you see today. That, you know, the sheep are just like the cano we have today. Okay, cano. No canos, and they're small. So when you learn that Jesus slept in the boat, don't assume that there was a cabin and there's this, the captain. You say, my God. Lord Jesus. He was right there in the cano. He's lying down on the wood. You know, they were using engines. All right, Peter, tell the boat. No, it was row the boat gently down. So the storm. He goes in there to preach. And he stays on the water and he's preaching. He goes on top of a mountain and he's shouting. No free air conditioners anyway, but fine one. No sound system. Blessed are the peacemakers. He's not going. Blessed. How do you hear? 5,000 people. Blessed are the peacemakers. Like that Robert Powell thing. I couldn't even hear Robert Powell on television. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom. Verily, verily, I say unto you. He's shouting! Praise God. No microphone. He's shouting. He got no house. You know, he got no cooks. He was fed by people. He was given money to run his ministry. He didn't teach in many people's houses when their houses to preach. Didn't build something. Oh, come on there. That is Jesus' church. Oh, Yeshua Ministry. Son of God Incorporated International. Luke 4:18. Motto. You know, he has no place. He has no place of his own. So he demonstrated what he said truly. The Son of God has come to seek. He actually demonstrated it in his style. He has come to seek and save. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 4. Are you there? Matthew 4. Matthew 4:23. Come on, let's go. Matthew 4. We're going to read together. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, go on, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That was repeated in chapter 9, verse 35. That's why Peter said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10, 38, who went where? He didn't say, who stayed in the ministry headquarters? He's dishing out the word. No. He says, he went about doing good. He's going about, you know. He's moving around. He's moving around. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. So, one more. So now look at the word again. Get back to Luke 19:10. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek means I'm going after. So Jesus, his passion was to go after. He went after. And he demonstrated, because truly his mission on earth, which is from the Father, was to seek and save, and he did it literally. He went around. He went from place to place to know that Jesus did not allow men to come and know who he was. He told them by himself. He went about to do it. It is it. If it's God, he was God. He will glorify his walk. He will glorify his walk. Don't worry. He's sitting in his mother's house. And he says, I said, don't worry. I'm anointed. Mommy, how God anointed Jesus. Now that is me. With the Holy Ghost and with power. See the wonders of God. He's about to do something. He went to Jordan himself. And John spotted him. Wow. He went to the temple of the devil, the next chapter, in Luke 4. Then the same verse, chapter, he goes to the synagogue and he opens Isaiah 61. He said, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Because if he didn't do that, then he can't say, I came to seek. So, literally, he actually came to seek. The word to seek is actually to search out. To search. Pay attention now. So, in Matthew 11, look at Matthew 11. Come unto me, he says, Matthew 11. Come unto me, verse 28. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what did he do after saying that? Verse chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 9, he went out. So when he says, come unto me, he's not saying, I'm going to stay in one place, you come unto me. He goes after people, then he says, come. So he's not saying, I'm going to sit down in one place and I'm going to watch you come. No, he goes, then he says, you guys, you come. Come. He's actually the one that goes. So he's come, he's not sitting in one place, he says, you come, he's come, he said, I've come to search you out, I've come to seek for you, then you approach me, you come to me. Don't go away from me. Hallelujah. Let's follow on now. John 1:14. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Said in Him was life. Life was light of men. The light shines in darkness. The darkness could not comprehend it. Verse 6 says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was sent. He didn't say there was a man of God. No, there was a man sent. So I say sent. See it again. Sent. Then look at verse 10. He said he was not the light. So in verse 9, he says, the true light that lighted every man that cometh into this world. So he came to the world. So I say he came. Say he came. What's that again? He came. He came to the world. Yet the world was made by him, but the world did not know him. Look at verse 11. He came to his own. And his own received him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the passion of Christ was demonstrated in what he did. He didn't stay, he came himself. He said, I came to seek. Hallelujah. He came. Don't forget that. Let's go further. So, Jesus was never found waiting. No. His mission was to seek. To search out. To look for people. He went out. One time they told him, why are you flocking with amatonos. Amatonos in the Greek is those that the law, those who have broken the law. He said, those that are old don't need a physician. Only those who are sick. You know, and you know, the point is, he actually is his kind of doctor doesn't stay in his office. The kind of doctor is, he goes to the sick himself. Hallelujah. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he hugged him to himself. No. That he what? Gave. That's it. He gave. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes him in shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Again, that scripture demonstrates that passion. He gave. Romans 8:32 explains that. He says, he will spare not his own son, but deliver him up for us. That's the word, to give up to die. Shall he not with him freely give us of all things? By using the word freely, it means it's his action, not ours. We are only recipients. So, you will always find Jesus seeking for people. Seeking for them. Look at John 4. I want to show you something. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Look at John 4. You will always find Jesus going to people. He's always going to people. John 4. He's hungry, as it were, sends his disciples to get food. Verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now quickly look at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now, you need to follow this discussion well and see that Jesus actually started the conversation. Because his mission and his passion was to seek for people. And when that happens, if that's your mission, you will start conversations. You will talk to people. He wasn't waiting on events to happen. No, Jesus created his own events. He actually started the conversation. Say, woman, give me the drink. And, you know, till they ended that conversation, he never took a cup of water from her. So, that conversation was not about water. That conversation was not about him. That conversation eventually was about the woman. He started the conversation all by himself. Give it a drink. He asked the right questions. He made the right probes. He had the right discussions. This is a woman who has had 5 husbands. And she came to fetch water. And Jesus found a conversation to talk about her. To fulfill his mission. To seek. So in seeking for the lost, he creates discussions. He creates conversations. He creates events. He creates situations. He makes sure that he talks to people. So God, our Father, is relational. There's nothing in the Christian that should be antisocial. Now, when I say antisocial, I guess you're not taking me out of context. We're going to party. No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about partying. I'm talking about engaging people in discussions about Christ. He went himself. He brought the discussion forward. Sometimes when people tell me, I don't know how to do evangelism, I tell them, do you know how to talk? Of course. They go, of course. My God. Do you know how to have a conversation? Sure. That's what it is. You talk to people. Sometimes some folks think it's about you wear, I don't want to say something, but then you wear something. They're like, repent or perish. So, look at people saying, hello, good morning. No. So they ask me to go, da-da-o! On the last day, on the last day, only 2 believers will. 2. Blessing, that is. Conversations. Jesus had conversations with people. That's what he did. He began to talk about water. Then in verse 10, he said, if you knew the gift of God and he that asked you to give him to drink, you would have asked of him. And he would have given thee living water. And so that discussion again demonstrates his passion to seek and to save them that are lost. Are you following me this morning? In John 5, the next chapter. Verse 1. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethsaida. And Jesus again went there. Jesus went unto a man who was sick. He went himself and he created a conversation. He asked the man a question, "Will thou be made whole?" in verse 6. He's the one that goes. If God became a man and made it necessary to always have conversations with people about eternal things, how much more? He talked to people. He had conversations around his passion. You check Jesus' conversation. Almost all the time, if not all, they were about his passion. His passion. Don't forget, we started by saying the church is subject to who? Christ. Don't forget that. Are you there? Are you there, church? Now look at something. When he rose from the dead again, he's raised from the dead. Did you observe once again that he was the one who went after people? Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. Verse 15. It came to pass. Now I'm going to start from 13. And behold, two of them, that is his disciples, that went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 64 furlongs. He says, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. Can we take verse 15 together, everybody? And it came to pass, the wild, come on, let's go, everybody. The wild day, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He drew near. Someone say near. He drew near. How about that? He goes near them. Even in his glory, he goes near them. And they have a whole nation who know him. Look at verse 17. And he said unto them. He seeks them out. Again, look at chapter. Same chapter. Verse 36. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace unto you. He always created conversations. He always sought people out. Jesus always sought people out. Say with me, Jesus always sought people out. No, the sort is S-O-U-G-H-T, not S-O-R-T. Sought yourself. He always sought people out in his resurrection. Look at John 20. John 20. Verse 14. And when she had thus said, it was when he was raised from the dead too, turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom do you seek? Again, he seeks her out. He asks the right questions. So Jesus seeks to be known, or he sought to be known, and he sought to be heard. That's his passion. He's not trying to be famous, don't get it wrong. He seeks to be known. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. He cannot save people that he doesn't seek for. He can save people that he doesn't talk to. He can save people that he doesn't go to. No, he can. He can only save people that he seeks and he goes after. So, write this down if you're writing something. His passion is for people. What did I say? Jesus' passion is for people. And that's why we said, you didn't find him build buildings. Not wrong in buildings. No. But that wasn't the passion. That wasn't the reason. I was privileged to speak at a minister's program recently, and they asked me a question. They were talking about raising money for ministry. And I know a lot of young ministers and preachers, younger than I am, I know they're under a lot of pressure because of the wrong idea that has been created in their minds about serving God. A young man told me one time, he said, "Sir, I want to start a church, but there's a problem." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, I've not been able to raise enough money." I said, "For what?" He said, "I have 350,000 naira." That's quite wealthy. And he said, "Well, we can get the venue, we can get this one." I said, "Have the sinners raptured?" Everybody's raptured. He said, "No." I said, "You are putting yourself under pressure. Undue pressure. You need to realize that the reason for your ministry is man. You put that first." Sometimes people get things warped up, they get it twisted. So I told them in the program, I said, before you raise money, you ask yourself a question. What is the work of a ministry? And I put everybody to test. And everybody said, the work of the ministry, one, is reaching the lost. Everybody agrees. Yeah, reaching the lost. Yeah, reaching the lost. You reach the lost. You preach the gospel to them. They're born again. Good. So one second work of the ministry. That is, those who are saved should grow in salvation. Say, yeah, yeah. I said, every other thing, do we agree secondary? He said, yeah, secondary. I said, yeah, secondary. He said, so, before you raise the money, you ask the question. Is this important? Is it priority to reach the unsaved and then to teach the saved? Want to get a speaker, 100 million naira. So that when I'm talking, say, want to get the best guitar in the world. Say, girl! So Pastor Jake says, keyboard, Moog, 2 million. The brother down is going, dun, 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 dun. That's it. Nothing wrong in all that. See, it's good to be cool. But really, you're still not doing the work of the ministry. Do you agree? The work of the ministry is what seeks for men to be saved. Then come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why Jesus didn't need a building to do that. He didn't require a house. He just had to go. Are you in church? That's the point. Yes, it's fantastic to have buildings like this because we can't have access to synagogues now. So, his passion is about people. In other words, a Christian must always find himself around people. That is the passion of our Christ. Say, well, I'm a natural introvert. You are not yet born again. I don't talk like that. You know, really, I don't talk like that. I choose my words. No, you don't choose this one. These ones have been chosen for you. I value my words. Someone said this, he said, I value every conversation. Then he said, I speak for 1 hour and I'm paid $10,000. He said, so every conversation I have with you, if you're going to use 1 hour with me, can you pay me $10,000? This one is not a minister of the gospel. This one is a charlatan. It's a tender. So you can say, so what if you start a minute? Preacher told me, he said, to preach for you, I take 500,000 naira every 1 hour. Okay, we'll have you for 1 minute. Quit the church. Bye bye, sir. So we go 500,000 naira divided by 60. That will work. Yeah. Do your maths. That's smart. That's like 8,000. Right? About 8,000. So do 30 seconds. Amen. Hallelujah. Shun die. Bye. Again. So he sought people. He sought for people. He goes after people. In Mark 16, verse 28, first of all, and 18. He says, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. So keep praying about it. Go! Hallelujah! Go! So say, does that mean I will have to travel and lead my nation? No. Say, go. And make the sign. In other words, go and talk to people. Go and look for people. Go and talk to people. How many conversations do you have every day? In how many of your conversations do you seek what Jesus seeks for? It's not good enough to be in church and say, oh, I love Jesus. I will trade you for silver gold. You want to talk market? I will trade you, Jesus. You and you are crying. Sometimes people are crying because of sin consciousness. Oh, Jesus. That you would God for this world for me. That you would die for me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. That's your presence is heaven in me. Oh. And then you're done. So the Son of Man has not come to seek for worship. You see, he's come to seek and save. Say, oh, Jesus. You mean my love to me. He gives me all of that. And then, after you're done, then praise God. So, okay, brother, we want to go out there and say, can we fix? So what was he singing for? My love to me. If he means something to you, you will catch his passion. His passion will be your passion. His passion is unmistakable. Not at all. His passion will be to have conversations during the day on WhatsApp, Facebook, BlackBerry chats. He's talking about why he came. That's what he's doing. In Mark 16, 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is not tired shall be saved. And verse 20 says, and they went everywhere. Some say everywhere.
Everywhere.
They created conversation. They talked to people. Hello, good morning. How are you doing? You fly. You ride the car. You're in a bus. There are people around you. But do you seek for them? Jesus had discussions almost in every place he got. He had discussions. He talked to people. He created conversations. Hello, good morning. How are you doing? How are you? He's talking. He doesn't go around him. That brother is spiritual, man. Good morning. How are you? Glory. Hallelujah. God bless you. It's well. Okay. You look like you're talking in tongues. Can you share the gospel with that brother? That guy there. Hello. I am from Saints Community Church. What to take over? You need prayers. The prayer group has to create a prayer day for you. Because he came to see. Some of us don't even do anything but pray and shout. In our community. That guy is a Christian. There's some time, some folks like that in our ministry years ago, about 20 years ago. They'll pray and shout. And everybody will say, ah, making noise. Yes! We are Christians, we're not ashamed. Shut up, all of you. These are people you have not even preached the gospel to. And you are chasing them away. For prayer. What the world does know, we are prayerful. We are here. We, the Christians, we are taking over. We are taking over. Anybody that says that we cannot make noise in this place will destroy. Oh, yes. We are taking over this place. Oh, yes. You will go for Sudanian government. You will go for Senate president. You will go for acting president, because there's no president, acting president. Because acting president, then you go. So no, you go. No. Jesus, no, there was a time they saw Jesus, said, let's make him a king. So I said, wow. Wow. Onisha, Yanu. Can you imagine? I was sitting down and people wanted to make me a king. Me. The Bible says he ran. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. We are not after government offices. We are not, the church job is not to solve recession. Those are confused churches. The church's work is not to start hospitals. Rafa International, if you start, it's good. But don't think that that's your work. The church's work is not to start school. The Son of God came to seek. You are a minister of the gospel, not a minister of education. Hallelujah. Come on. You seek and say the Lord. If you have another identity that is more than this, there's a problem. They know you as number one IT expert in the world, in diaspora. This guy, he's a whiz, man. He's a whiz. He's auditor par excellence. He had CISA, CISO, CISI, CCCCC. But he's a Christian too. Oh, glory to God. You know, God is putting Christians inside every religion. Are you confused? Does he come and see the people in my ministry? Jesus, Matthew, tax collector, come around, come on. This is a great man. You know, he's going through great things. Peter and Co. You don't have co-store. Okay, Peter, fisherman, James and John. No. Jesus did not reckon with anybody's social status. Most of his disciples or his apostles were teenagers, young boys. A lot of people following him were even girls, unmarried folks. They went about with him, preaching the gospel. They went about with him from place to place, town to town, city to city. That is the passion of the Christ. Somebody in the church. Are you following me? You are known as the, someone say, oh, that guy, is it, after finishing a football game and you won, you now open your jersey. Jesus Christ reigns. What did you lose? Did you open it? It's when you win that we see that, oh, the guy is a Christian. Wow! The Christian. Why are you happy? He's a Christian. He's left for Chelsea. That's a testimony on his own. You know, oh my God, I've left Chelsea alone. This is God. You need to pray for me. He says, look at this. No. Does he preach the gospel? Does he seek those that Jesus seeks? That's the point. Go. In Luke 24:47, it said, thus, repentance and remission of sins will be preached in all the nations. In his name, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24:47. Look at John 20. You come to church and say, we have testimony now. There's testimony we want to share now. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's a brother here. When he entered this church, he was single. He had been single for years, searching. But to the glory of God in his prayer group, he has married the prayer group leader. That's exploits. Oh, this sister, when she came here, in fact, she had been searching for a job. At the point, she was depressed, dejected, oppressed. But you know what? Just last week, oh, this church, God, this of you. Last week, she just opened her email. It was even the spam mail. She got a letter from Donald Trump. They can share that testimony in Rotary Club. In mosques. They can share it. So, brother, is that the passion of our Christ? To be getting United Nations jobs? To go into all the world? Go and form APC and PDP. The devil cannot claim these things. These things belong to us. Say, yes, Lord, we're ready. Just bring out the gun. Ready to go, boss. No. Say, go and preach the gospel. John 20. Charles Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an impostor. That's strong. You are either a missionary or you are an impostor. That means you are deceiving us. My salvation is in my heart. Please bring it out. It's in my heart. See, I'm not into all this religion. Shut up. You are an irresponsible Christian. It's in my heart. What matters is the heart. Is that how you got born again? Was it the heart of somebody that got you saved? Someone said, just, as you saw the person's heart, just say, I believe in my heart that Jesus. Are you still there? Are you still there? John 20, praise God. John 20. Someone told me one time, said, the days of reaching yourself is gone. That day of going to do break, and he said, it's gone. He said, the days we are in now. The days we are in is to show his power. That when you when they see your company rise, they see you move from loss to profit. And your profit after tax is 10 billion. They'll say, come and tell us, how are you doing it? Come on, oh my God. That's not mammon. That is barbon. You know, there's mama and papa. That is barbon. Hallelujah. So say, we don't share testimonies in this church. We do. Is it that people are not getting miracles, I got a visa. I've been looking for it for 4 years. I submitted it. I didn't even put my passport. They just called me, bring your passport. Is it that you don't get promotion? You enter an office like as a messenger. You became the MD in 1 year. Let us know what's going on. You will know it on the last day. Hell will freeze over if you hear those kind of things on these people. The day you hear us, bring somebody here to be saying those kind of things. Don't come again. Just know that I. Just say, this man is gone. Finally. I'm telling you, don't come the next Sunday. if you love yourself. But it will never happen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. John 20. We celebrate the people have received Christ. They received His healing power, His saving power. Hallelujah. They have come to know Him. Their lives have changed by the revelation of Jesus. Hallelujah. Their passion has changed. Their desires have changed. Their pursuits have changed. Hallelujah. Are you in church? John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them, peace unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so sent are you. Say, He has sent me. Open your mouth. Say, He has sent me. Praise God. The passion of the Christ, the passion of our Christ, is to seek for people, to look for people. I'll take it again. Charles Spurgeon said, you are either a missionary Christian or you are an impostor. An impostor is someone who is not, but is acting like he is. How would you hear about Christ? He comes into your heart. I got born again about 29 years ago. 29 years ago, actually. 29 years ago. And the very first thing I wanted to tell people, it's just a passion. I'm going, I just want to share about Jesus. I want to share about Jesus. Everybody who got saved in the book of Acts, the proof of their salvation was that they were talking to others about Christ. It wasn't the change of status. It wasn't the change. It wasn't getting married or having kids. People do that all over the world. The proof that they were saved was they were going about, praise God, telling people about Jesus, and they were not ashamed to do it. Hallelujah. Because that's the proof that you have caught the passion of the Christ. My God. My God. You know, sometimes some people are watching fools about Jesus. They say, oh, see how they're busy. And they go, ooh. You are not okay generally. Why are you crying for? He's just going to the place totally. His passion is to seek. Now look at how many conversations you have every day. I don't know how to preach. It's not true. You know how to talk. You know how to invite people for an event. You send text messages around. You talk to people. Some of us, just by a week event, you can invite people from ADs to attend an event. You know how to do it. You know how to create conversation. You will stay there at the, you know, some AFRC, at the bus stops, Association of Free Readers Council. Now you don't have to do that because on the internet, just go, yes! Yes! I'm telling you! People are deceiving us! And you are there for 1 hour. Arguing. I see some believers. They will jump from wall to wall. Pa 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 pa. Pa, 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 pa. Is this the change we voted for? You chat here. Say, I don't know how to preach. No, you don't know how to think. You have been preaching since. You stay there. You are discussing who should be the World Footballer of the Year. No! It's not Ronaldo. It is Messi. The two of them are in their homes sleeping. You say, never! Did you not go? Tell us to go. Is that not the conversation? Yeah, I said, I get your point. Are you not convincing me? I get your point. It's true. The way you do like this. Yes, yes. Conversation. You are seeking for something. But because the passion of the Christ is not your passion, so you are not convinced enough to talk about Him. If something overwhelms you, it will be in your discussion every day. Hallelujah. I don't blame many Christians. Sometimes we need to check. One time I was watching a television program, and I must confess this, this was in, I can't remember the year. It was Patito's Gang, because I used to watch it a lot. I followed it. In fact, there was a time I went to buy the tapes to watch it again, just because I like to update myself with current affairs. And so A man said something. They were talking about the churches. And I usually ignore such discussions when, you know, I guess they don't know what the church is, so I wouldn't allow anybody to tell me what the church should be like. But he made a comment. He said he thinks that the churches should check its doctrine. That stuck to me. So I found out, what's in our doctrine, really? Many places. Thank God, not here anymore. We ask people to come to pray. And the reasons why they come to pray is always about themselves. We ask people to come to church to solve their life's problems. It's always about, people don't even give without thinking what's going to happen. We say offering time, blessing time. The blessing is not the giving, it's what you will get back. Exact opposite of the scriptures. Because a man goes into church, the moment your giving is about you, it's not giving, that is business. And I said, there's something wrong. So, even people go out in evangelism now, I'm told, to say, if you don't win souls, go, not hear your prayers. If you don't preach, you will not be blessed. No. Jesus didn't come to seek for himself. He came to seek us. For us. The passion of the Christ is about people. Do you talk to people? I close. Do you talk to people every day? Do you share with them what you have received by Jesus? Do you? I was sharing with some folks yesterday, and I remember I had to shout because yesterday the network, I had to do the broadcast here. So that wasn't that. So we had to shout. And so I was made to pray for someone who was in a bad state. His neck was, you know, so I had to minister to him at a point. It was now in the car as we were leaving. I was in Brother Tony's car as we were leaving. And I was ministering. And they told me that his movement is a Muslim nation. They said she was strangled almost to death for sharing the gospel on the street. So I now ask the question, where is he now? Let me just encourage him. They said he has gone again. Wow. He has gone again. I wanted to tell him, try rest. But he had gone again. That reminded me of Paul in Acts 14. He was stoned and taken for dead. And you know, when you take someone for dead, you know what it means? You'll have beaten him to pulp. That's why when he went to Galatia, he said, I came and you knew that my eyes were gone. They had beaten his life. It was only Zoe that was left. So that the brethren, he was taken for dead. But when they beat you and you said, you do like you are dead. Paul just said, heart, stop now. If they check you and you move, I will deal with you. And they beat you, you pray like you are dead. And the brethren came around Paul. He now looked like this. Okay, these are Christians. Guys, I'm alive. Just look like this. Guys, I'm alive. And he got up. And the Bible says, immediately, he went somewhere else to preach. One time in Acts 5, they got them together and they gave them blala. You know blala? Bah, 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 yeah, oh, ah, yeah. And they left and they did not cease to preach. That's the passion of our Christ. Hallelujah. What's your passion? What do you live for? Ask Christians the question. If you're going to ask God for one extra day, assuming that was a prayer point, why would you want one extra day? To have more cars, to have more money. To what? What is his passion now? That was his passion then. Let's bow our heads and pray.
won't tell you what to pray about, but just pray. You've heard the word of God. Pray. Do you have the passion of our Christ? Is that what motivates you in the morning? Motivates you beginning of the month? So sometimes you things go wrong in your office, in your business. Sometimes in general around you. But does this passion keep you going? What kept Jesus going? What kept Paul going? What kept Stephen going? What kept Peter going? What kept Philip going? What kept James, John? What kept these folks, teenagers following Jesus? They were in their youthful ages. They ought to be trying to find their feet in life. But what were they doing? They had the passion of our Christ. Peter said that we have left all to follow you. That includes many things. Look at me. What is your passion? What is your passion? What is your passion this morning? Is it your career, your job, your home, your finances, your nation, or Christ's passion?